adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Ginger Lynn is in our studio tonight. Ginger is one of the premier women in adult films and probably has been over the last 20 years.
Oh, it'll be 20 years, December 9th.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Been a long time.
Yeah, I got the champagne
I
on
four.
Ice, Drew. It's funny, but not so funny, really, if you think about it. Make it 9. It's more palatable that way.
14.
Yeah.
Now Ginger is, well, let's see. I spoke to Ginger. Well, I know, now Ginger's never been on this show, which is a surprise to me, although maybe she has been years ago before
years ago.
I was here.
That's correct.
So it's been at least 8 or 9 years since Ginger's been here.
Yeah.
Ginger did some stuff with us on the Man Show, and she dated my old roommate, Ralph, who I just heard she had sex in the bathroom with here,
Someone
by the way.
Had to break it in.
I beat off in there this, a month before that, so I look at us breaking it
what?
In.
Took
does
you that
long? Does that count?
That's right. You were at the Burbank with Kevin and Bean.
Right, right. Okay. Right. Ginger's got her own production company. Now, let's just... Well, let's work from the past to the present. And Ginger, by the way, has always been one of my favorite adult film stars because she's got a natural look and sort of cute. You know, I think what I don't like is I don't like the porn star that looks like the porn star. Mm-hmm. I like them, you know, pardon the cliche, but the girl next door kind of thing. And Ginger, also petite, would make my penis look big if we had sex.
That's good for you.
Because it's all relative. But Ginger, I must have, I was on to her, I think, right when she hit the scene, which would have been in like 83. And so let's talk. Where are you from? And actually, I think I saw E! True Hollywood Story on
yes.
you.
Yes, they did a 2-hour, and I'm not even dead.
Yeah.
And I'm a porn star, which is unheard of.
Yeah, so you're from... let's see, all I remember is your hair was a different color at one time, and you're from somewhere in the Midwest,
so
perhaps?
Where our girl next door is from. We're from the Midwest.
And you came out here at what age?
19.
Los Angeles.
19. I'm originally from Rockford, Illinois.
19.
Yes.
And what was the original plan when you came out here?
I actually came out to visit my grandfather, who was very ill, and I was going to just stay and help him get better.
Right.
And I realized once I got here that I loved it, and I never went back home.
What got you originally into the adult industry? Start modeling at first?
Well, you know, I kind of fell into it. I was managing, I was actually a troubleshooter for Musicland, which is a subsidiary of Sam Goody. And I thought living in California was going to be free and easy and simple and lots of fun and hanging out at the beach. And it was very, very expensive. And I went from a two-bedroom, sunken-in living room home in Illinois to a little studio with a pool outside that had rats in it and no water. And I was working 80 hours a week and I couldn't make ends meet. So I answered an ad in the paper for figure modeling. Well, actually, no, what I did first was I answered an ad to be a dancer at a bachelor party. And I didn't quite think the whole thing through. So I get my little music and I've got my boombox and my little cassette and I bring my boyfriend and I go in and I hadn't thought about the fact that it would be all men there.
Yeah.
And I was the only girl. So I walked in, I put the music down, and I looked around and I got petrified. I ran out the door. I left the music. I left my boyfriend. They beat him up.
Really?
And so I realized I wasn't really good at doing
seems
bachelor
parties. Seems like they should have killed him, yeah.
He was so mad.
And then you got into figure modeling.
Well,
and
then I went back to the newspaper because I still needed to supplement my income. And the ad said figure models wanted $500 to $5,000 per day. And I thought, well, you know, I do this once in a while. Maybe, you know, even though I'm short, they won't be able to tell if I'm naked. And so I went into the agency, and that day there was a photographer in, and the next day I did test shots for Pentest. Post for Pentest about 2 weeks later, and people kept coming to me and saying, we would like you to do commercial. And I thought commercial meant toothpaste. You know, I was really fresh from Illinois.
Kind of like toothpaste, but it gets on your forehead, not in your
different
mouth.
Different in your hair. You don't want it in your eye.
Yeah.
And when I realized what it was, I said, I'm not going to do this. That's not the kind of girl that I am. And although I was very sexual, I had the same stereotype image of the adult film industry as I think most people did at the time. It was very taboo. It was still the raincoat crowd. Most films, all films at the time, actually, were in theaters. There was no such thing as video.
Also, doesn't it seem, except for pioneers like Bob Crane and Elvis, no one really had... I mean, you wanted to watch video, kids. You needed several hundred pounds of equipment, and you'd have to use a hand truck and bring it in the room. I mean, it was like shooting. It's like doing Monday Night Football.
The equivalent is if you wanted to have a computer that had the power of any laptop. Now you'd have a room full of computers.
Exactly.
Right. Be NASA. So this was during a time, by the way, when you could probably do a couple of movies and get away with it in terms of your family finding out about it or seeing it, because unless they went into the theater, they wouldn't know you were doing this.
Well, that's what I thought. And I my initial plan when I decided to do it, I thought I would only do two movies. I would dye my hair blonde and no one would know, even though I was using my first and second real name. And I did the two films, and I did the two loops, because I didn't know if I was going to be able to actually carry a movie and if I would be comfortable doing it.
Like shorts, right?
They were shot on 8mm.
Who was that with?
The first one, Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
I know.
Talk about baptism by fire.
I didn't even say that.
By hair. That's got to suck.
But, you know, and there was no sound, and the director kept saying, okay, lick your lips. And Ronnie was behind me, and I all I kept thinking was, well, if I don't look at him, it kind of feels good. You know,
right.
It's okay. So I didn't look back. I kept looking forward and licking my lips. And if you see this, it's horrible. I'm actually doing one of these.
I'd like to see.
I didn't know what that meant.
I'd like to see that.
Well, so the way my parents found out, it was horrible. My father, there was one place in the whole town that I grew up in that showed, they called them loops or peep, the peep thing, whatever they
peep
were.
Show,
peep
yeah,
shows.
Yeah.
And my father was sitting in a bar next door to the shop talking to the guy sitting next to him. And my father said, my daughter lives in California now. And the guy said, my daughter lives in California. So they get their daughter's
my
photos
son,
out.
My son Ron just moved out there. We should set them up.
So they get the photos out, and the guy says, your daughter's a porn star. That's Ginger Lynn. And my father says, well, her name is Ginger Lynn, but she's not a porn star. And the guy takes my father next door. They put a quarter in, and there I am with, of all people, the most disgusting, fat, hairy, smelly person in the entire world, Ron Jeremy. So my father, now it's funny, it wasn't at the time. So my father tells the guy he wants every copy of every of this,
true as a father.
And
what
and
do
the,
you do now?
You kill yourself.
That's
right
why you
them.
Keep the cyanide tablet.
Right them.
Tablet.
Well,
right
my
in
dad
the
beat the guy up when the guy wouldn't give them to him. My father beat him up. The police came, and in the meantime, one of my father's friends showed up and said, "Look, you know, he just saw his daughter in a movie. Give him a break," and they let him go. So he goes home, gets my grandmother who raised me large
see, Dad, when you don't raise the daughter, it's payback time.
Oh. So he takes my grandmother down. Now, my grandmother.
Why does he take your grandmother down there?
No, because nobody. He told her, and she didn't believe it. You know, Ginger's not that kind of a girl. She wouldn't do that. And
so she takes Grandma down.
Yeah.
And makes Grandma watch the loop.
Yeah, Grandma watches the loop, and it was just pretty ugly. And
that was his mother.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Payback time for Mama.
There you go.
There you go. Wow.
Speaking of loop, the loop is complete at that point.
Did he call you? Did she call? Nana call?
See, now they knew that I'd posted for Penthouse.
You're not Jewish, but a Jewish grandmother would have died. You would have never had the phone call. She would have clutched.
No, she would have called to let you know that you killed her.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then die right there.
I just thought you should know I'm going to die.
Oh, my grandfather was rolling over in his grave. Well, what happened was I didn't give them my phone number because I...
Smart.
I thought, just in case. So they had my service, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from my service saying there's a family emergency. Uh-huh. Now, I know either someone has died or they found out. And
right.
My father said something to the effect of, what the blank have you been doing? They didn't talk to me for about 6 months. And what made it worse is not only were we not speaking, but then my Penthouse came out. And although I was shot for a centerfold, at that time they didn't allow people, women in porn, to be a centerfold. So they pulled it, put me as a feature, and someone took my Penthouse to my father's office, opened it up.
What kind of office? Just to fill it out.
It's an aviation company. It's a big event.
Guy brought it. Guy brings it.
And put with a little note on it saying, please tell us how you've raised your daughter so we won't make the same mistakes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was ugly. It's really tough.
Like an aviation, making pieces.
They produce the parts, for the space shuttles and Boeing.
He owns the company.
No, he works for the company.
Wow.
Yes, he's a purchaser.
Hold on. Let me talk to Drew for a second. You don't march into the boss's office who owns the company and do a please tell us how you've effed up your daughter you get your ass fired.
Well, somebody may have done that to kind of screw with the boss kind of thing.
Well, a disgruntled employee of the past kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Yeah. People are so confrontational. I would have been like, if I jacked off to it a million times, I would have said, I haven't seen it, Herb. No, I don't know. But I hear she looks great. I mean, she looks like you in her eyes. Nice.
Oh,
not the ass, the eyes.
No.
Oh, my God.
So it took about 6 months before we spoke again. And what I did was I sat down and I wrote my father a 14-page letter telling him who I was and how the things that he had taught me had affected me as an adult.
All right, but let me jump in here because we talk about this stuff all the time, which is we believe that when a parent does not do their job, such as your father.
Steve and I disagree, but go ahead.
Or mom. All right. Where's mom?
Where's mom?
Mom's a nutcase.
That's what
mom's,
we're talking about.
Oh, okay, maybe more mom than dad. But where was dad? Why did dad have you raised by your grandmother?
My father used to party a lot. He drank a lot.
All right. Now, listen. Yeah. Your dad wasn't the world's greatest dad.
He was 17 when I was born. He was not ready to be a parent.
Fine.
Okay.
Didn't want to be a parent. Wasn't ready to be one. Didn't know how to
any,
be one.
Any, whatever the excuse is, he wasn't there for you like he should have been. And
he did the best he could.
Nah,
yeah,
he probably could have done
better.
Here's
the deal.
It doesn't actually matter whether he does the best he can.
The reality is it's healthy for Ginger to be able to look back and go, the guy was an F-off, but I can forgive him. He did the best he could, this kind of stuff. But the reality is he was an alcoholic and it does affect you. That's
exactly.
All,
so. Well, and not that I'm defending him, but I understand because I am fourth generation alcoholic. I'm 4 years clean and sober right now. I'm in a recovery program, and so I understand.
You're forgiven.
I wasn't. I have a child, and I wasn't the parent I should have been for the first few years because I have a disease. I was sick,
and so does he.
And exactly, and he's sober many years now. So
all right, I'm just saying now that you're older, you're wiser, and you're sober, and you can intellectualize this whole thing. It's you can forgive him,
yes.
But when you neglect your young daughter, the consequence can possibly be having the penthouse put on your desk.
That's what I'm saying. You're doing what everybody else does, and you're blaming my choices on the way my parents raised me. My parents didn't make the choices. My father, what he did teach me was to believe in myself. Never do anything I don't feel comfortable with. Don't judge people. Those are things that were instilled in me, and I still take those with me today. He didn't tell me to go out and do this, and to make porn.
No,
and
but
it's not his.
His neglect got you closer to going that direction, I would argue.
You think?
I do, yes.
What do you think?
Here's why I think that, because it always seems to be that way. It's a pattern.
Yeah.
It's attachment problems, which mom gave you, with the biology of addiction. That's a recipe for extreme behaviors.
But listen,
that I know.
All right, but listen. Let's not dwell on retribution.
But what's interesting is that you've integrated all this into an adult sense of who you are. You know, she's continued to include adult film in her career and who she is, and doesn't shy away.
Well, I have no problem. We're just, we're just digging here. Don't worry about it. Now, speaking of digging, I want to talk about Charlie Sheen for a second, because Drew.
That was an interesting segue.
Well, Drew told me a crazy story.
What I told him was, last time you were up here, you didn't use his name, but you told a very painful story about somebody you said you love very much whose family rejected you, and they were talking about doing plastic surgery and all kinds of stuff. You said that on the air.
Yeah.
And
I called Drew a liar, but is this true?
It is true. Charlie is still painful. Charlie's like my first and only true love.
Why?
I've loved other men, but
what's not to love about Charlie Sheen? Come on.
He's a wonderful, wonderful man. And I just fell absolutely head over heels in love with him. And we had this this connection and this intensity in a relationship that lasted for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And
but his family freaked out over your past?
His family, the agents, the attorneys, all of the people who were telling him what decisions to make in his life.
Right.
Martin was always very kind to me and always very supportive of the relationship as far as I know.
Who was the problem?
Emilio.
I never heard. No, Emilio was great to me as well. Everyone was always kind to me, but I never felt the warm and fuzzies with Janet, with his mother. I never felt that. And being a mom with a son, I understand. And she never took the time to get to know me.
Right.
To see that I was more than just the, you know, I mean, I was there for Christmas and holidays and Thanksgiving and all the different dinners. So I was there, but there weren't any real big conversations.
All right, but what's the crazy plastic surgery
part? What happened was it became very difficult. We had reporters hiding outside in bushes. We had people following us everywhere we went. Even when I went to his home, his mother would come over, knock on the door, and need something. And it was just very, very uncomfortable. And it got to the point where Charlie said, I can't do this anymore. You know, I just can't take the pressure. Mm-hmm. But I love you so much that I have a plan. You know what? I loved him enough that I almost went along with it. He had arranged for me to have a new identity. I was going to fly to Europe, have complete plastic surgery, change my name, my appearance, everything about me, and then come back as someone else so that we could be together.
Wow.
And
she's going to be Amber Lynn.
The only reason I didn't do it was my grandmother. I couldn't bear the thought of never seeing my grandmother again.
Oh, wow. You were going to have died or something?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we were going to fake my death.
Wow. Wow.
I haven't
thinking about doing that too.
So long.
It would have been great, like the guy worked with your dad going, Herb, there's a chick that kind of looks like your daughter's doing more porn. Thought you'd like to see that.
I wasn't actually doing porn at the time. I stopped for 14 years.
Oh, yeah. 14 years.
That's
way too long. Porn has missed you. So much.
From when to when was that you stopped?
February 11th, 1986 to March of 1999.
So you got back in after you got into recovery?
Yes. No, that's when I hit my bottom on my first film.
That was the name of it, actually.
Just out of curiosity, was Charlie using when you guys were concocting this plan?
We both were.
Yeah.
Seems like at least smoking a little pot.
You know what? At the time, it seemed like a really good plan.
It still sounds good.
Adam, take this idea. He may go with it.
I was this close.
Listen, not since Eddie and the Cruisers has someone successfully faked their death. No one does it anymore. I think it's a great plan. Plus, porn stars are killing themselves left and right. You get some blonde hooker, you're stuffing a pink Corvette, shove her off Mulholland, then you go to France. Easy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let.
But I didn't do it. I didn't go through.
We got to take some calls, but Ginger's not here just to comb through the wreckage of her past. She wants to talk about the future.
But she's got so new. Therapeutic. I'm going to feel so much better when I leave now.
I hope so.
Good. She's got a. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take a call.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and we'll tell you all about Ginger's new productions and production company and all that stuff. Ashley.
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering how you guys felt about documentation.
Isn't it a case by case sort of thing? Like, isn't almost all plastic surgery this way? Like, who are we to tell someone they can't have it if they really feel unattractive and it's not right?
Or
there's some abnormality or something. But if you take your shirt off and you look okay, then it's probably more of a psychological thing. So I guess the question is it more psychological or physical?
Well, now, I thought you were a big fan of all this, Adam.
I like the big cans, but I'm just trying to be responsible here, which is... but here's what I want to say. If people look at you and they don't see a big nose, but you look at you and see a big nose, then you shouldn't get a nose job. You know what I'm saying?
I think it depends on why you're doing it. A lot of women do it for men. They think that it's going to make men more attracted to them.
Right, I agree. That's the only reason you should do it.
No, that's the only reason you should not do it is if you do it for
men. That's right,
you
I agree.
See your clothing?
I agree.
Clothing fits better.
Yeah, but they look really stupid when you take your shirt off for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen a lot of them, and very few look really good, feel really good. And what's going to happen when you're 50 and everything else has moved, and then you have these...
Yeah.
things.
Well, listen, we're living for today. Plus, the terrorists probably blow the country up before you.
Would you have penis augmentation?
Yeah.
He's trying.
I could yeah. Go for that. Yeah.
And would you be doing it for
I'd do it for me. I do everything for me. Ashley?
It's all about you.
Yeah.
What size are you now?
I'm a triple A.
A triple A.
Oh, my God. What is
yeah, that's, yeah like that's like right above.
That's inverted. She has two ashtrays there.
Got it.
They're just turned
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Actually, they're like cup holders in your car.
Yeah, my boobs were like a lot bigger before I had my baby.
Like this.
They were a lot bigger before you had your baby.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you had atrophic, what are called gestational atrophic changes.
Yeah.
But
yeah
it's like, sort of like the fried egg appearance. Right.
Yeah, they were like size D before I got pregnant. And
wow.
then they severely dropped.
No. But wait a second. Nothing goes from a D to a triple A.
It's not impossible.
My sister went from a full C to a nipple.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
I was breastfeeding.
Wow.
And like there's extra skin, but it's like not really tight.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing, Ashley.
That is a good reason to have a breast augmentation, by the way.
Too.
However, the problem with that is they can't do under the muscle for those. They have to do it just under the skin because you would basically have the same thing sort of hanging off the end of a larger breast, all that kind of loose stuff.
Right.
So they have to do it kind of under the skin typically. So.
All right. So you have our and God's blessing.
Okay.
All right? Okay. All right, that's fine. Yeah, and you didn't have to call to ask for that.
Well,
I mean, we appreciate it, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, everybody, you know, if you're burnt in a refinery fire, you don't have to call us and ask us if you had reconstructive surgery on your face.
Yeah.
That's fine. If something looks abnormal or screwed up, it's just the people that are looking pretty good, don't think they look pretty good, and somehow become
Los
addicted
Angeles,
to this.
In Los Angeles, it's so different. I mean, you can't go anywhere in Los Angeles without a million beautiful women, and they're all cookie-cutter perfect with all of the augmentations in the nose.
Hold
the
on. Head down to the Home Depot with me in North Hollywood. I was down there this morning. No
cookie-cutter?
No, a lot of fat guys from Nicaragua, but I didn't see the hot cookie-cutter chick. I guess it's where you travel. Certain circles, yeah. The Home Depot circle is not one of the stronger ones, but it's got to be. I think there's a backlash against fake boobs, by the way, which has been swelling over the last couple of years or so that guys aren't into it anymore.
The novelty's worn off, in my opinion. It's not what it used to be.
Right. Yeah. It's like everything. I mean, what is if you really think about human nature? Why is it? I mean, it's exclusivity. It's a club that other people can't get into. And mm-hmm. if the door swings open and everyone can get into the club, then
you're
being
so
in the club ain't no big deal anymore.
Right.
It's time to go find a new club. And then whether, you know, you want to drive, you lust after a car that other people can't afford or can't drive or can't maintain. Everybody wants the house, whatever it is. When you go to the airport, you want to go to the captain's club and sit up above
right.
all the schmucks that are sleeping on a bench down below and have your cappuccino. It's like you want that, and the day they open the door and let everyone in, you want to go somewhere else.
Mm.
And the door's been open to the fake boob club for too long. And I say it's time we go open our own club. Yes, Drew?
The natural club.
That's right. Ginger Lynn is our guest tonight. She is, it says here, won more awards than any other female porn star, by the way, and I believe it, and definitely one of the best looking and most natural ones over the years. True, yes?
Yes.
Yes. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ginger Lynn, legendary porn actress. Ginger Lynn is here. And most porn gals after 20 years in the business look like a couple miles of bad road, but not Ginger. She took some time off and recouped during those pivotal porn years. The pivotal porn years, Drew, are like 25 to 33.
Pivotal.
Those are the pivotal years.
Yeah, those are formative.
You go either way.
Formative porn years. Yeah, that's where you sort of one thing says sort of haggard junkie, the other is born again.
Oh, I see.
You see what I mean?
Right. You go one way or the other.
But not Ginger. She just sat at the bench right there. She just pulled up. She just pitched a tent right at that crossroads, and has now emerged from the tent, Drew. and is doing her own thing. And she's doing, she was telling me outside what's wrong with porn today. I almost hit her. I was so outraged. She was like, the dialogue is... I was like, what do you mean dialogue?
That's not what I said.
I'm listening to the radio while I'm watching porn.
No, what I said was that, that I've seen women moan before anyone touches them.
What's wrong with that? They're turned on.
No, they're not. It's robotic, scripted, unpassionate...
Right. All right.
Sexual action.
As opposed to having Ron behind you looking straight at
him. Well, I was new.
Ron's hairy gut resting on your back.
I figured if I could do Ronnie, I could do anybody. No, but no, what it is for me is when
That's always been Adam's motto, too, interesting.
Yep, I can do Ron, I can do anyone, or anything. I've expanded it. I can climb Everest, fly in space shuttle, I can do anything. Well, okay, so yes, it's all cookie cutter blondes, shaved just the right way, a little sterile and a little mechanical.
Implants, the same nose job.
Okay,
so there's girls with butt implants now.
Really?
Yes, and if there's one more girl that names herself Lynn, that
yeah, Lynn to porn is like sugar to boxing.
Is there?
Yeah.
But I just found that it was very boring. And every move, when I decided to make my comeback, I went to a hotel with my girlfriend. And there's the $14.95 thing where you can watch movies all day and all night long. And I wanted to see what was going on. And I couldn't tell which one was which. I thought it was the same blonde in every single movie. You know, and then I saw the titles and they were different people.
Adam, you okay? You're right? You can
keep talking.
And
I'm fine.
And every scene.
Well, that's why I stick
with
the circus-sized big jug movies because that eliminates the cookie cutter.
Well, there
syndrome.
You go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep, there I go.
And it was just—it was very boring for me. I want real people having real sex.
You want
that's
passion.
I want passion.
Okay. So now, what did you do to change this?
Well, I came back. And mm-hmm. and made so far in the last since 1999, I made 5 films,
mm-hmm.
and I. Recently decided that there's a point in time where I've been in front of the camera for a long time, and if I want to bow out gracefully, the next natural place for me to go is behind the camera. And so I decided to do my own productions,
mm-hmm.
and in order to find people that weren't programmed and weren't doing the porn deal, I was going to have to get amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a website, gingerpicks.com, P-I-C-K-S, and people go to the site. I started by telling people on the road. I do a little talk show and then I'm done dancing. And
schools, synagogues, things like
exactly.
that, taking your message out.
The elderly centers.
Elderly centers, wherever you have a captive crowd, prisons. She does them all. Right. So you go on the road and you tell. So because and you want fresh. You don't,
I want fresh. I want young. I want real.
Yeah. Like I can't stand to see another set of shaved nuts. You know these guys with the shaved down balls and the G-string up the G-string tan line. I don't mind seeing them shaved. I don't like the finished product. I don't like seeing a guy with a G-string tan line and shaved nuts.
Okay, but if you're down there, you would appreciate that. I do not want to floss while I'm licking your package.
Listen, honey, a little floss before you gargle couldn't hurt. Yeah, Drew. High five. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Knew you'd get on board with that. Drew rarely high fives. One more time, buddy. Oh, hey, now a jumping one. Oh, hey, give me some change. Yeah. Woo, Drew. Drew's not normally a high fiver. All right, but he agreed with the gargle. All right, so, yeah, you don't want a bunch of hair down there. Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
But what's a thong back tan line
okay,
do
no,
for
I
you?
Okay, that's faggy.
That's very faggoty. Drew, no, Drew, no.
I'm just thinking how manly she would sort of experience your tush.
Yeah, well, that could be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
So what I did was I wanted men and women. So you can go to the site, you post your photo, and then people vote on you. They give you a score of 1 to 10. And then mm-hmm. there's the behind.
What is your nude photo?
Whatever you want.
All right.
Anything that you want.
All right.
And then the idea is that every 6 weeks we'll take the top 10 men and the top 10 women, fly them to Los Angeles, and you will come to my home, and we will give whatever your fantasy is. If I can help you make it come true, I will. So if you're a guy who wants 3 women, I will set you up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem and my solution for that is... Every guy wants 3 women. Can you handle it? Most of them, no. So I give you time alone, watch what you're doing, and if and when there's a problem, I will come in and teach you what to do. Let's say...
But now, is the camera rolling during this whole time?
Absolutely.
So you're breaking down the fourth wall, as we say in the theater. You're walking out from behind the camera.
Exactly.
Okay.
And let's say that a guy wants to have anal sex. Oop, is that okay to say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could probably do it here. True.
I have.
Oh! Wow, Drew. Pulling the trigger. I can barely keep up with him.
So let's say that the guy wants to, the girl has, she wants to, but he hasn't. And I'm watching, and I see that he hasn't done any prep work, and it's not going to be pretty, and it's not going to feel good for him or her.
Uh-huh.
So I can,
what kind of prep work's involved with anal sex?
Tongue, finger,
lube, you mean,
getting it ready, making the transition smooth, positioning so that you're comfortable, letting the guy know that the girl needs to make the moves, that you need to just kind of hang for a while and let her move on to it if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
So
right.
I would go in and either strap one on and show you how, or help you put yours where it needs to go properly. Yes.
Strap one on and...
Well, and I had two instances where the man couldn't finish the scene. And you get 1 hour. And then later what we'll do is starting Friday, the clips will be up from the shoot we just finished. And you get to vote on the clips of who you think the hottest people are, and then we'll have our contract.
This is going to be on Fox, isn't it? Really, what's starting to sound like, isn't it? And then they do the whole juniors competition. Now that's 12 to 14. Their parents are in the audience. They're crying during the anal. I'm so proud.
Ron's judging.
Well, now, okay, so hold on. A couple of things. I know, it's nice to have the amateur vibe.
Right.
Especially with the chicks. But for guys, you got to perform, right?
Oh, my goodness. So I had, out of the 10 guys, all but two were troopers. They were little studs. They were amazing. And if they did have a problem, sometimes it would be that the girl wasn't...
And the girl's not their girlfriend.
No.
She's just a contest winner, shows up there.
She's a contest winner. I did have two couples that won.
And do you have to sort of pair people up and have them agree to, or are they just sort of open for it when they get out there?
No, I mean, if you got there and said, I despise this person, I had a girl who was supposed to be in a scene with somebody else, with another woman, who decided that she wanted me or was not going to do it. So I accommodated her.
Out came the strap on? Drew! Yeah. Wow. Drew scraped his knuckles on the ceiling on that one. Wow.
But sometimes, again, back to the porn stars of today, they, if you notice, a lot of them, their lipstick never gets messed up.
Yeah.
You know, and in between shots, they're grooming and fluffing and fluffing.
Yeah, they're primping.
Yeah.
And preening.
Exactly. And so a lot of times, if I were a guy, that would kind of, I'd lose my excitement there.
Yeah.
So I helped the girls to learn how to be right there with the person. Forget the cameras. Forget that I'm there. Forget everybody else is there. And be there for the guy. So if the guy wasn't able to do it, sometimes I found that it was because the girl wasn't paying enough attention or as involved. So I would go in and actually help
her.
So
now, what, do you release these on video?
Yes.
And people can go buy them.
Well, they'll be out in December.
All right.
And my favorite part of this is not only do we do the individual scenes, but... Because I had so many amateurs and I didn't know which men were going to be performing or able to perform or not, we decided that the first night would be a kind of a get-to-know-each-other night.
Aww.
And so we played games. We had, I don't know what words I can say.
Pin the strap on the donkey.
We played musical chairs without the music, and it was kind of like bobbing for apples without the apples. So all of the men are sitting in a circle.
Yeah.
The women come in, and you get 3 minutes to do your deal on each man's member.
Right.
The man is blindfolded.
Yeah.
Then the woman has to keep her head down, and the guy holds up fingers of what her score is. And then I say switch, and you go to the next guy, so you go around the circle.
Wow.
So each guy has a girl do that for 3 minutes.
Drew, this sounds healthy, doesn't it?
It was so much fun. No, and then
it was great.
The girl that did the best job, she won $2,500. The guy that... did the best munching, won $500.
Oh, you did it with the...
We did it both ways.
And that's where I faked the injury.
I got to know who was good and who was not and who was going to have problems. And so the next day I could film accordingly.
I played a little junior college football. I don't want to bore you, but I I had a slip disk, and it sometimes comes back. So I'm gonna take a steam, okay, during the box munching competition. Hey, I wish I could be out there with you guys. Man, do I envy you guys.
We did everything. We taught them how to groom. We had a scene where all of the girls are. I have this big, huge bathtub, and they all sat around the tub, and I taught them how to. I shaved a couple of them.
It's like finishing school for sluts.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with being a slut.
No. Drew! You caught me off guard with that one.
You're
Drew,
so
crazy.
He's just high-fiving.
He's crazy with the high fives. He's like Harpo. He doesn't talk. It's all physical stuff with this guy. All right,
are you okay, Drew?
No, I'm fine.
His hands. He's got that carpal tunnel syndrome from all the high five, and he's giving. Calm down, buddy.
If you'd like to, we're doing another one in 6 weeks.
I'll swing by with my Gallagher slicker on and my jar of Nivea, and I'll just sit. You won't even know I'm there.
I have a doctor that actually came to the set to prescribe Viagra for the men that might need it, and he was volunteering if somebody wasn't able to perform to
Dr.
be
Bruce?
Blindfolded.
Oh, Marcel. That'd be Dr. Marcel. Right?
And I thought, well, how cool is that? My limo driver, he was picking girls up at the airport, and he's like, need another guy, I'll jump in. And I had so many volunteers. It was just really beautiful.
I'll tell you, a lot of people say that the spirit of giving and chivalry is dead in this country. I think Ginger begs to differ.
They really should have saved this for Christmas time.
It's coming out somewhere around there.
No, but I mean the whole experience.
All right. No, listen, we got to take a call. I could talk porn all night long. Oh, I'm pressing the wrong button here. Jason.
Hi.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
You want to marry your 17-year-old girlfriend?
Actually, no. I want to know when is appropriate age to get
What's
married.
An appropriate age? 30.
Yeah.
30.
30.
28, 30.
Because I was just wondering, Dr. you actually inspired me to become a psychologist, okay. And I'm on track right now to get my ID, and
aren't you in high school now?
Yeah, but I'm already studying for it right now.
Well, just get into the best college you can.
What college are you going to?
You really shouldn't even be focusing in. You should be getting as liberal an education as you can as you go to graduate school.
What college are you going to go to?
Adam, you're not going to like this one. It's actually a Christian-based school.
I don't mind that.
Oh, okay.
Where is it?
It's in Azusa.
Oh, is it?
Azusa Pacific?
Azusa Pacific.
Oh. Yeah.
So,
just go to the best school you can.
Christian Okoye went there.
Yeah.
The Nigerian Nightmare. He's a running back in the NFL. Okay. Yeah, all right, go there and learn about God and psychology, although it's going to be hard to be good at both.
Yeah,
actually, there's some institutions that are able to sort of manage those two things together. But listen, you're going to go through so many changes, both in terms of your development and in terms of the things that you have to focus on with your career path. I mean, this thousands of hours of clinical you have to put in. It's not time to try to set up a family.
Especially if you want to be a doctor, don't get married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take your time.
And here's the thing, everybody. Ginger will back me up on this because she's been engaged 10 times. She told us off the air. Actually, 11. She got engaged during the last break.
To you.
I heard.
To you?
Someone just called in.
He was nice.
You can't. The idea is you want to keep. I know that feeling when you're 17. You want to plan. You want to plan. It's like you can enjoy each other, but you want to look down the road. Like, going to go to Hawaii. We're going to start our own windsurfing company.
Don't
worry about the marriage.
Some
at 17.
Of that is a life preserver mentality where you're just transitioning out of your family of origin and you're grabbing onto something else while you're floating free in the sea of your new society, new self in society.
Getting very cathartic for Drew. Drew, even the digs, he's high-fiving now.
All about you, Adam.
Yeah, and you do, when you're young, you want to wrap the person up.
Speaking of
you want to put them in Tupperware. I mean, you don't want them to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. It's a life preserve. You cling to it.
All right. Let's take a break. I
had two calls tonight, Adam.
Ginger.
Ginger's compelling.
You're
like dissecting her.
She's
like
compelling. All your talk, all your weird dad bashing and stuff at the top of the show, freaking the guest out.
Are you going to call me mommy later?
Yes.
No, because I play your mom.
That's right.
And we have a film coming out together.
Oh, it's too much.
Oh.
Yes, I'm in one of her productions.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Oh yeah. My God. You bang us Uranus 5. Ron Jeremy gave it to me in the ass. Now, we'll talk. We have a project coming out.
Okay.
Right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll tell you about it after this. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, buddy. Oh! Drew, you glad to be at the new studio? Hey! Who's your buddy? Oh! Big anal fan. Hey! Wow! Drew just high fives now when he likes something.
You know, we have spanking videos we could put in. You're very good at that.
No, Drew, no spanking. That's high five. Well, yeah, you do have spanking videos.
Well, I don't, but they're out there.
Yeah, a lot of fetish stuff out there. Girls getting pies in the face and stepping on bugs and stuff.
Wow.
I'm old fashioned.
Me too. Call me conservative, but I like just a little double penetration and a nice load in the face.
I was just
sorry.
Say that.
If that's old fashioned, so be it. Maybe a little sea flog. Maybe a little sea flogging.
What's that?
Well, where I flog you with my penis.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
You deserve it, if you've been naughty.
If you know how to do it right.
Well, here's my flogging problem.
No, I don't want to hear about it. Let's go on to the calls. All right.
Can we take some calls?
Yes, please.
Yo, flogging. All right. Where were we, Drew? Who are we talking?
We're talking about Colette.
All right. Next break we are, or the breaks are when we stop, right? But
yeah.
When we come back, we got to take some calls.
Because we
got a project. Ginger and I have a project.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're doing a project. She plays my mother in a project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you play a small child, so.
Yeah, no. She's a young mother. Young mother.
What is it, a baby with Adam's face?
No, let's not give it away, Drew. It's hard. Colette?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Uh-huh.
You want a boob job?
No, I want reduction.
You want reduction. What size are the boobs?
Double D.
Double D. And how much do you weigh?
I weigh about 135.
About 135.
Mm-hmm.
How tall are you?
How tall?
Mm-hmm. 5'7". Wow. Sounds like a pretty good shape you got going there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're 16. Are you afraid they're going to keep getting bigger or something?
Well, no. I get deep bra strap grooves in my back.
All right, and your neck hurts and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the deep bra strap grooves and the neck pain, the back pain, all are reasons that people get breast reduction. However, most doctors, I think, would have you wait till you're 18, because there can still be some growth up until that point.
Yeah.
And,
don't they?
It's 14, 15, 16, it can be really uncomfortable to sort of see yourself with these. You know, the way guys treat you are different. Girls treat you differently, right?
Yeah, big deal. Everyone treats everyone
differently. Yeah, but they don't like you. Girls get real sort of nasty, right? And the guys don't look in your eyes anymore.
Who cares?
It bothers Colette. And, you know,
it bothers her.
At 16, it bothers her. At 18, it may not.
That's true.
And so, you know, wait that couple years to see how it goes.
Yeah, but listen,
irreversibly traumatized, but that's all right.
Every supermodel comes in here, has her own tale of woe about high school. Oh, knobby knee, I was all elbows and knees, guys made fun of me, call me Jolly Green Giant. You know, even supermodels in high school felt dorky and out of place, so we should all have...
We each have our own cross.
Looking spectacular in a sweater is really... on the list of problems, this is we should all have these problems.
So we're saying wait. But then you certainly have the physical reasons to go ahead and get it done. If you want, go ahead and get a consultation with a cosmetic surgeon just to see if they would do it now. Okay?
So, but 5'7", 135, and double D, you must have a pretty spectacular body.
Yeah.
You do?
Well, not to be, you know, conceited, but
pretty good, yeah. You got a boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah, does he like you? Does he like it that way?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, all right. All right. Does he make noises when he squeezes them?
What kind of noises?
Oh, Drew, yeah. You know, just me. You know, like stuff like that.
Mommy, that one.
All right, Colette.
Ginger, I want to apologize for
all
that behavior.
All boob and no personality.
You've inspired him in ways.
He's not normally like this?
Not. It's sort of over the top tonight, yeah.
I'm animated. Well, I love
a lot. Back to life. He's been barely at a pulse for the last 6 years.
I got to be honest.
Tonight is alive.
I'm a boob man, and Drew's an ass man. You know how he knows, because whenever anyone brings up his name, they go, yeah, that Drew, he's an ass, man. Wow.
But
I'm a boob man, and I can't help it. When I hear about a six-year-old with big boobs who's tall,
And you've had a relationship with Ginger for many, many years. I mean, it's sort of been unidirectional.
That's right.
But that's it's been right. A long relationship, right?
Yes.
So you figure it's like a home night.
Yes, we first started our relationship back in 84 when I was living in my North Hollywood apartment. I would have to clear my roommates out of the living room where the VCR was so we could have time alone.
And you've been the most respectful boyfriend I've ever had.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you for that.
I always boyfriend. Rewind. I'm boyfriend. Very kind that way.
Boyfriend.
I'm very tactful. Always use a...
You've never said anything mean to me, ever?
Nah. Always use a bib.
She was the first
Curtis?
To say that looking for
hey,
your...
what's up, guys?
What? I'm sorry, Drew.
What was that?
No,
go
Curtis.
Ahead, go ahead.
Thank all right. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, we got to take a break because really? Drew's been so busy high-fiving and shooting the ass with Ginger that we haven't been able to get to any calls.
No, fair enough.
All right, so hold on a second, all right?
Good times.
All right. He's laid back. I like that.
I just think Ginger was the first person to sort of point out that finding your anus was like looking for Santa Claus's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you have to rein in the parade. She was so hot. You're hot for me, right?
Absolutely.
There
can
you go.
Tell?
You see that?
I'm over here wiggling.
Yeah, Drew. All right. We got to take a break. Ginger Lynn is here, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ginger Lynn is in here tonight, a legend of adult films, and she is doing her own thing now. She wants a little more intimacy, a little more reality in these things. I'm tired of the primping and the shave. Well, she likes to shave balls, but she doesn't need the thong-back tan line on the dudes. And I'm with her on that. And if you want to find out about what she's doing, you can go to www.gingerpicks.com. And who knows? You may be the next star. One day, maybe your father will be sitting at a bar when he's dragged into the porno penny ante place next door, and you go in and, yeah.
Actually, we did have a bad experience on the set.
Yeah, you did?
We had a woman who, she and her husband had discussed this. She flew out to be in the films. We had spoken many times, not only she and I, but I spoke with her husband, and everybody was excited about it. She came out, and the first day that she worked, he called several times and everything seemed to be okay. The next day, we had posted photos that evening after our first day shoot on the internet. Mm-hmm. Her husband saw the photos and had a major change of heart. He called 70 times the second day. Now he's leaving. No, it's really bad. He's taken the children away. He's called her family, his family, told everyone about it, and I have 7 messages that I've saved threatening my life.
What did he think she was doing out here?
You know, he knew exactly what she was doing, yeah. But the reality of it is much different than the fantasy.
Let me tell you what he wanted to do. Sabotage. This is how you get out of a relationship.
Quite
he's
possibly.
A screwed up guy. You get someone to do something, then you build a case against them. It's like the threesome thing.
It's exactly like the threesome thing.
Like when you want out of when a chick wants out of a relationship,
create chaos.
She says, "How about a threesome?" The guy goes, "Great." Next thing you know, there's weird feelings and chaos. Then there's a breakup. This collect the kids and the relationship. I'm not saying he knows what he's doing. This is how it works.
It definitely could be that. I had my long. Excuse me, my longest relationship ever was 6.5 years. And the man that I lived with, owned a home with, dated, had never seen one of my films. Ever.
Wow. Gay.
At about 6 years into the relationship. And we had the best relationship. It was fabulous. Mm-hmm. Everything was just, it was really, really good.
How is he never saw one of your films? I mean,
he chose
doesn't
not
he
to.
Fly? I mean, they're everywhere, aren't
he,
they?
He chose not to.
Okay.
You know, he met me, the real Ginger, not Ginger the porn star. He met the real girl, fell in love with me. And
at what
chose...
stage did you tell him what you did?
Oh, he knew from day one. Uh-huh. He was actually a photographer in the industry.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
but never met me in a work arena.
So he never saw 6.5 years.
At about 6 years, I had gone away to visit my family. While I was gone, one night had a few beers and thought, yeah, I'm going to check out one of her movies.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, our entire relationship changed. He became abusive, not physically, but verbally. And it was ugly. It was horrible. I was no longer the woman that he loved, the woman that he had asked to marry. I was now a slut and a whore and everything else. And he had known for years. I mean, he had traveled with me. He had come to autograph signings and seen people and seen my box covers, and he knew what I did. He had seen photos, but until he actually saw me doing it, and I'm
so
sure.
How much longer did the relationship last after that?
After the first time that he came close to hitting me, I said, you do this again and I'm out of here.
No, but after he saw the movie.
It's 6 months.
6 months.
It was six months before. And then I put my foot down and he did something. That's it. I warned you once and I moved into
the hotel. Well, you see, we would argue that he was sabotaging whether he knew it or not.
No. I would argue that only alcoholics can deny like that. And so he had probably had a substance history.
You know what? It wasn't apparent then, but after a long period of time.
That kind of denial, we can deny that's what she did to himself. And then when he couldn't deny it any longer. Then, and probably his disease progressed a little bit right then, too. And so, there you go.
But still, to me,
it's alcohol.
Your smell?
Yeah,
I farted. I drank an old Milwaukee and broke wind. That's what you're smelling. All right, let's go to the phones, Drew. Come on.
Yeah, enough chat.
Oh, on the chat. Drew loves chat. Curtis?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right. You're 25. What's going on?
Getting married next year. I've been with my fiance for about 5 or 6 years. Just graduated college.
Great.
And it was actually a real college, not one of those junior colleges.
Xavier University?
What's that?
You're calling from Cincinnati?
Actually, it was UK.
UK.
All right.
Graduated from the University of Kentucky. We're going to get married, then we're going to move. My big question is, we found that the polyurethane condoms are the best for us.
Uh-huh.
And we're just really just a basic question. I've read the boxes and things like that, just wondering how reliable they are. Now, we are also using, she uses ortho tricycline, so we try to be careful with that and everything. But just
well, she's on birth control pills, so just that takes your chance of pregnancy down to 1 in several thousand. You know, 1 in many, many thousand. I mean, it's just zero.
You guys have been together for so long. Why are you using condoms? She's on the pill.
Well, just because basically it's not really worth the risk to us.
There is essentially no risk.
Well, I know, but the thing, I mean, to us, honestly, we're really just trying to start our careers. And
you're talking about pregnancy or talking about STD?
It's pregnancy.
I know, but listen, when you drive a car, do you wear a helmet?
No.
Well, it would be safer if you put a helmet on.
Well, sure it would.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, you want to talk about, you know, ending your career, that'd probably be a faster way to do it. I'm being serious, which is you have almost no opportunity to get someone pregnant if they're taking the pill consistently, yet
properly.
You insist on putting the helmet on your penis. You have a greater chance of getting an accident. Why don't you put it on your head?
Be that as it may, a polyurethane is the most sensitive for you guys. That's great. You don't have to worry about effectiveness so much as comfort, really, because that's the key for you. My understanding is polyurethane is as effective both in terms of birth control and a barrier for STD. However, we've had some calls recently that suggest they tear a little more easily, which I don't know.
Although he says he's been using them, and should we ask?
Yeah.
No problems. Curtis.
Yeah.
You've been using polyurethane for a while?
Yeah, probably about 5-6 months.
Any failures?
No, never, not once. No. I've heard that on your radio show before.
Yeah.
I've never experienced anything that before.
Do you buy them regularly? Do you store them or anything? Is there anything special about how you handle them? You know what I mean?
No, not necessarily. Just like any normal latex. I mean,
a latex kind. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Hey, let me say this, by the way. You know how I want everyone to speed up and drive faster?
Yeah.
And get somewhere faster in this godforsaken town of ours.
Your ass policy.
You know what we do in this society? We do a little too much of you can never be too safe, you can never be too safe, you can never be too safe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all we're at. It's like your 85-year-old white-haired grandma, take the shoes off. Take the orthopedic shoes off. We got to check them at the airport. We got you. You can't be too safe. God bless. You're wearing a condom. You're on the pill. She's got the patch on. She's had her tubes tied. You've had a vasectomy. Yeah, but God bless you for wearing the condom. Yeah. You can't be every time. Play it. I don't know. I wonder. To me, it's like, yes, it's good to be responsible, but the people I know who are walking around with the can never be too safe, can never be too safe, are miserable. Or they're screwed up.
Well, and if you're in a monogamous relationship, from a woman's point of view, if I'm on the pill and a man is insisting upon wearing a condom,
he's cheating.
Either he doesn't trust me, he's cheating, or he's afraid that I'm going to skip the pill and get pregnant intentionally.
There's
why would you use condoms? They take away the pleasure of part of it for me.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a monogamous relationship with you, I don't want you using one. If I'm on the pill, why? There's something funny going on there from a woman's point of view.
Yeah. All right. And I don't think Curtis was the kind of guy who got around and strayed. But I just mean in general. I think all we do is ever applaud anybody who, you know, the speed limit's 35. I drive at 30. God bless you. God bless you.
Well, again,
God
bless
you. Put 15 child seats in the car and put stuff the kid in the back seat and tape him with a bubble wrap. God, no, you're doing it. You're doing it. That's great. That's fantastic.
We don't assess.
Just
stop
it.
The reality of what we're
Yes,
saying.
Assess the danger and make your move accordingly.
But assess the behaviors, too. It's like, huh? You're doing this and this and this.
Right.
I mean, and what else going on here?
I'll bet. If he called 1,000 radio shows and said, you know, my girlfriend's on the pill, we're engaged, we're going to get married, and we've been together for 5 years, we're monogamous, but I still put a condom on each time we make love. They're like, oh, hey, you know what? God bless you. You're doing the... No. That's... I wish more people... No, screw you. You're pussy. Something's wrong with you. And this society... And here's the problem. Society's now imposing this put a condom on thing on me. It's on everybody. Everybody's got this guy. We can't do anything anymore. We can't move anymore because there's. We got to play it safe. Got to play it safe. Cannot trust. No, you can't. No, put that glass down. You get a Dixie cup. You got to drink your beer out of a Dixie cup. No, because you may hit somebody or you may eat it or you may. Yeah, okay. Stop. Really? I'll tell you, all right, we're going to the phones, but I went to Europe last summer. It's great. You're an adult in Europe, you get to be an adult. You want to walk outside with a glass? You get to walk outside with a glass. Here, you got to keep swapping stuff. Like, you're holding a glass. Buddy, we're going to need, into the paper cup. Yeah, we took some paper and we made it into a funnel like a magician. Go ahead and drink out of the funnel, would you? Yeah, you're 38 years old. What am I going to do? Eat the glass, break it over my head? You get to be an adult in other countries, and I say you don't get to be an adult here, and I blame the lawyers. I blame the goddamn lawyers for suing everyone's ass off, so now we can't do anything.
Well, you will give those lawyers and those fat cats a message.
When I run...
Well, you're elected.
And I'm elected to the governorship of California, I will send a message. No, a
your
vote for me.
Will
a vote
be a
for
message.
Me. We'll be sending a message to the fat cats in Washington.
And Sacramento.
We will live in a society where seatbelts are optional.
Adam needs only $3,500 and 60 signatures. We got at least 8 signatures right here.
Everyone will
I'll
be running
twice.
By the pool with glass in their hands. No glass by the pool. Oh, God. It's just a whole nation of whining pussies. But if something bad happens to you, it's your fault. Don't sue everyone, you big pussies. Cowardly, spineless lawyers. You're all out on your ass when I'm in. Trial Lawyers Association. Big sack of pussies. Gina?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, too. Screw Gina. I'm glad she couldn't talk. Let me tell you. When I'm in charge, Drew, you get one lawsuit every 11 years. Use it wisely. These a-holes have sued the, 14 different casinos because they fell in the lobby of, they tripped in the elevator. You're getting put to death. Here's it. You show me someone who's had 13 lawsuits in the last 10 years. I'll show you someone who needs a bullet in their goddamn head. How have we magically made it through our whole lives without ever suing anybody? Do you really? If I see a pattern established in anyone, they're going down. And if I see that lawsuit pattern, you're going down. You get one every 11 years. Use it wisely. You could use it on something frivolous. But then you could get burned horribly at Disneyland. Like some hydraulic hose bust and goofy smoking, and you just turn into a human torch. Sorry, you sued McDonald's 9 months earlier.
Oh,
so you'll get nothing for this. Yep. Yeah. One every 11 years. That's fine. And Drew, we'll for you who have never sued anybody and you're 43 years old, you got 4 now.
I just take them. Just do it.
Retroactively.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you've built it up like you do vacation time. Except for we don't get that here. Gina?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I love you guys. Y'all are so brutally honest, but it's hilarious. So.
Thanks.
My husband is able to do something I don't think is normal.
Mm-hmm.
He can, when he's got a hard on, he can make his penis pop like a knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Corolla move.
Can do it.
Yeah.
Can do it.
Adam can do that.
Is it normal?
Well, it's not, well.
It takes a certain breed of cat, there's no doubt about it.
Certain skill.
It's pretty, yeah,
there's a ligament.
Elite fraternity is what it is.
There's a ligament that holds the penis up, basically, and it can crack just like any other ligament. And it's
mm-hmm.
kind of difficult to do. Not all guys can do it, but it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with him. You haven't broken him.
Well, he first did it to shock me, and it's just been, he does it now just to make me laugh. But he's not hurting anything?
Beauty of God. No.
What do you think?
He's not going to go crooked later on in life?
No.
No.
No. Adam, how did you discover you could do this?
My uncle was molested
me when I was on How Dare You, Drew. I told you.
Do you really do that?
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Why do I fart?
It's comedy.
Well, you need to. That's
yeah, nice. But I don't need to pump my arm. You know what I'm saying?
Like you're pulling down the horn from the diesel truck.
Yeah, I don't need that diesel. I don't do that BJ and the bear move that I do and I certainly don't have to lift my leg and throw my ass to one side.
So it's a guy thing.
It's a guy thing. Okay. Here's where let's ask Gina about her husband. But you do it in the morning, I think, Gina.
Yeah.
Does he do this in the morning?
No, he just.
Some guys do it all the time. Yeah.
Whenever he has an erection.
Right. He does it to shock me or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no.
Guys love doing that.
Does he have to have the erection for some time before he can crack it?
Honestly, the truth, I don't know. I haven't.
No question. All right.
I should never. It's my fault for trying to talk the listeners of this show.
Blame you.
How many times? How long is it going to take before I learn my lesson? It's always. It's just always nothing. So it's how'd that happen?
I want to see somebody do that though.
There's a man in this room that can do it.
Will you show me?
I have to have an erection for like 8 hours.
Morning wood.
I got to have morning wood, and I got to be honest. I have not done it in many years too. But I'll call you tomorrow morning when I get up. And I'll hold the phone down. I'll see if I can get something going. To me, here's how it works. You need to. It's sort of like your knuckles or something. Like if you hold them in one position for a long time without moving them, then you can crack them. It makes a nice pop. If you have the erection, I don't think this guy can get his boner and pop it the second he gets his boner. You got to sleep on it a little bit, then you can pop it,
so to speak.
That's right. Let's talk to John, who's 22. John.
John, hey, this is John.
John.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Love you guys' show, man.
Thanks.
Hey, tell them fat cats in Washington to legalize some pot.
Yeah. I'm going to send a message to those fat cats in Washington.
Yeah.
That's by the way, he could get elected governor. Well, it's president, really.
It would seem.
Yeah.
Plus, hemp everything. Hemp rope, hemp sales, hemp cars.
Yeah.
Hemp frames for glasses.
Nice.
Hemp false teeth. Hemp everything. Valves. You know when they do valve replacement?
Mm-hmm.
Hemp. Everything hemp. Pacemakers, hemp. Microwaves,
knee
hemp.
Replacement.
Knee and hip replacement, hemp. No, nonstop hemp. Go ahead. I'm gonna have my wife. The first lady is going to be made of hemp.
What's the deal, John?
Well, I got my girlfriend, and we've been around for a while now. And
by the way, I was in Phoenix last weekend. It was 115.
It started raining tonight, man. We're loving it.
It rained in a week. They're their monsoon season.
It's great.
It's so hot there.
But when it rains, it gets down to 96 and 170% humidity.
Yes.
So it's lovely.
It's cooled off. It's about 75 right now. It's beautiful.
All right. What do you do over there, John?
Actually, I'm a student.
You're a student. All right.
Yeah. ASU?
Yes, I am.
All right, so what happened?
Well, nothing happened much. It's just that my girlfriend wants me to perform anal sex, and I'm not too much into that. And I'm wondering if that's weird of me, or should I just stick with it and not do it?
She wants you to give her anal sex.
Yes.
Ginger, what do you think?
Well, I just don't want to do it.
All right. Is your name Ginger?
Sorry.
All right, quiet down.
When I'm with a partner, when I'm with the person that I love being with and we're in a relationship, if I can please them, even if it's something that I don't Yeah. Haven't done before.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to give it a shot because...
Oh, Drew, yeah. Big high five for anal.
And for a woman, for me at least, I find that it's fun because I'm not supposed to do it.
Ooh,
it's naughty. It's
naughty.
Dirty.
Yeah.
It's and there's a thrill about that. And so if you were my man, I'd want you to give me a thrill.
Yeah, how about it, John? You can't rally for a little anal?
I mean, I guess I'd try, man. It just doesn't sound too appealing to me.
Are you afraid that it might be like actual dirty? Are you that you're gonna get messy?
I guess that too. Yeah, I mean, that's one. But I enjoy doing, you know, having normal sex, and
he likes the real thing.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
No. It sort of means that A, you really enjoy sex. You know, B, you're 22 years old. You're supposed to be really enjoying sex. I mean, no need to experiment or get too far off of the beaten path. And then third,
so to speak.
you like women. Like you're not interested in the
I have no thrill
degradation
for myself,
thing. So. You don't like the anal.
The thrill stuff is like zero.
And whipped cream and whips and stuff.
But you always talked about naughty and thrill and stuff, and she sort of Ginger articulated it kind of clearly.
Yeah.
And I thought, no.
Not true.
It doesn't work for you.
No.
No.
And you've talked about it. Remember, I sort of trying to get my head around it, understand it.
Well,
that's why.
For me or why people are attracted to thrill? I mean, sex is thrill, and then they put thrill on thrill.
But I've said, for instance, you know, why are guys so into anal sex? And you went, oh, because it's naughty and dirty. And Ginger add thrill to that, and I think that's right. And remember, I still have trouble understanding why guys push on that one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm just realizing it's just because I got none of that. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
I don't have much of that either.
You got some, though, because you sort of immediately went there.
What do you mean? I understand it.
Yeah, I can't even understand it.
All right, it just makes me smarter than you. Doesn't mean I like anal.
I think you got a little, little of the thrill stuff going.
No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, sexually?
Mm.
Oh, please. How dare you?
No.
I'm boring. How dare you attack me by calling me an innovative lover? No. I'm boring as hell.
See, it can be passionate and not into thrill. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not
those
into
are two different things.
I'm not into the butt love too much.
I'm not talking about that per se, but the thing people do lots of things for thrill. They try different things, different
well,
places.
Well, I mean, like,
people.
You know, in my younger day, I'd a little rough trade.
That's what I'm talking about.
A little handful of hair and a little slap on the ass. A little bit of that. Mm. Drew, you don't make me bring up your past. Whoa! Drew, yeah.
I'm feeling very abnormal here because I like all the naughty
stuff. Yeah, well, you're naughty.
I do.
Yeah.
But see, I need the thrill. I want the thrill.
Right, that's
the gene. You got that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the alcoholic
really?
Gene.
Yeah.
Thrill-seeking gene.
Having an alcoholic gene makes me sexually...
No, it makes you need thrill in order to... It's actually not fully worked out yet, but definitely people that have the alcoholic gene are much more gratified by thrill than the average person.
So we're better lovers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But listen, crazy...
No,
crazy's a better lover. You're not better lovers, you're better sexers.
But
you know what I mean? Like, that definitely, if you're doing a one-night stand, you definitely want it to be with a thrill seeker.
You know what? When I think about it that way, when I'm in love with someone,
the thrill
when
isn't
I was,
as important.
It's not as important.
Yeah.
And I am much more of a missionary right there.
Right.
I want you to look at me. I want it right here in my face.
Right.
If it's a one-night stand, I want you behind me. I want it naughty, and I don't want you to talk unless it's something.
Whoa, true.
No, so it's if I love you, I want that intimacy and that warmth and that passion.
And if you know, think about as your disease went through, probably you had more of that thrill-seeking type stuff going on at some point, whereas the disease was more active.
All right.
Now that I'm
well, that's
sober,
the other thing that when people are sober, they start trying to use that same mechanism by means other than drugs.
Well, it's like people get sober, they get sober and they start skydiving. And,
right.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
Same,
yeah,
because the
they
got
thrill. They start gambling, they start skydiving.
They start shoplifting. They start.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Now I was afraid when I got sober that sex wouldn't be fun anymore. I thought that I was sexually uninhibited most of the time because I was under the influence of something. And I discovered just the opposite. It's better now. I want it more, and I want to do more wild things.
Yeah. All right. So we'll drink. And give you the anal, right, Drew? Let's take a break. Ginger Lynn is here. I'm going to try to crack my penis during the break. Trung, I need your help, buddy. As a doctor.
Of course.
I need the,
I'm there for you.
The gentle yet knowing
steady,
hand.
Steady pressure.
Steady, firm hand of a doctor to crack my crank. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ginger Lynn is our guest tonight. She is a famous porn star. She stepped out to blow a butt. She should be stepping in any second now. Drew, did she blow your butt?
No.
Oh! Drew's nothing but high fives all night. All night. Whew. You ready to rock here, Drew?
This is a night when I sorely miss cameras. Because it's hard to register righteous indignation and disgust.
Drew's had a puss on all night. Jessica?
Yeah?
You're 23?
Uh-huh.
You're divorced?
Sorry, you caught me in the middle of brushing my teeth, actually.
All righty.
I was brushing my teeth. I have to get up at like 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, here's my scenario. And I'm sure I probably shouldn't even need to ask this, but I'm in the middle of a divorce. My husband is 29. I've actually kind of started seeing another guy who is 33, and just in the last weekend or so, his ex-girlfriend showed up to tell him that she's 3 months pregnant, and I'm wondering, you know, I mean, I probably shouldn't even wonder, but should I just, like, run like hell or what?
Well, so he's newly off a relationship himself, right?
Yeah.
And how long... Are you living away from your husband now?
Yeah.
You moved out?
Uh-huh.
How long have you been apart?
About a month.
A month from your husband?
Right. I've known this guy longer than that, but we only started.
This is injured reserve.
Yeah. No, this doesn't sound like a good one.
Why are you divorced? Why are you getting divorced?
Because my husband is gone more than half the time. He's a pilot. And when he's home, he's very distant and doesn't really pay any attention to me whatsoever.
How long were you married for?
A year.
Hmm. All right. And no kids?
No kids.
How long did you know each other before you got married?
2 years.
Hmm.
Yeah. You didn't know he was a pilot and would be away a lot?
Or
you
I did.
Sure, pilots don't travel much.
No, I thought I could deal with it.
Yeah.
But... I also thought he would actually, you know, want to pay attention to me when he was home.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Drew, you and I are the same. We wouldn't mind marrying a pilot, would we?
No.
little downtime. A little time to think.
Me time.
A little me time. Guys are cool with that, by the way.
Yeah.
Guy marries a chick who's out on business all the time or something, fine. No problem with that. Like that.
I'll tell you where it's bad. You cannot raise a family that way.
No, you don't want a bunch of kids running around, your wife gone all the time. But without the kids, adios. Every time my wife wants to go somewhere, I'm like, No. What? 3 days? You can't see Vegas in 3 days? 3 months, maybe. Come on. Yeah, well, okay, listen. Just, you know, hey, if you get on a roll, just, you know, maybe you just want to stay around. That's all I'm saying. All right. Nothing wrong with that. Guys, we like being left alone. That's all.
What do you do when you're alone?
Beat off. Feverishly beat off. No, guys like
you've
quiet
actually disgusted
time.
Ginger, you've disgusted her.
No, here's the problem. I'll tell you the problem. Well, here's the problem with all women, really, quite honestly, in relationships. There is a certain pressure to being in a relationship for a guy. Even if he wants to be in a relationship, even if he's in love, even if he can miss his wife or what have you. There is a certain pressure. There's a certain unspoken pressure, which is, it's kind of like being at work, even if you like your boss. It's just a sort of little bit of a pressure. And it's nice when your boss goes out of town for a weekend, even if you like the guy.
Now, what if you're not married, but you're living with the girl? Is it the same pressure?
Yes.
Really?
Any long-term relationship with a woman, especially when you're living together, married or otherwise, there's a certain element of pressure.
Well,
and when they leave, the pressure sort of relieved a little
makes
bit.
Makes humans want to be alone and to sort of be wandering. That's sort of the biological effect of testosterone.
Then I must have a lot of testosterone.
Maybe.
It's possible.
In the same way, in a relationship, I need my space. I actually like it when...
Hmm. Well, we should get married.
We'll have to talk to your wife about that.
She's cool. We'll never see each other. It'll be great. I'm going to spend the night at Ginger's place.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over really well.
Come on, baby. We've been together, I mean, sort of symbolically for a long time.
What if she and I run off for a while?
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. Again, just leave me alone. That's okay. All I want. Get a couple wives. That's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna be a polygamist. I want 15 wives and send them all on vacation.
No pressure.
No. Mike?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Mike?
Yeah?
Yeah. Let me give this observation about polygamists. Either super rich or super poor.
Yeah.
Not middle class. Either you got a harem. I mean, you have 15 wives and you're crapping into a gold or pewter toilet, or you have 15 wives and you're just living in the same hillbilly trailer in Utah.
Yeah.
You know, no middle class polygamous.
One of the things interesting about humans is that the very rich and the very poor, behaviorally and from a mental health standpoint, have much more in common than with the middle.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
Yeah. It's like dressing. Super rich guys will dress flashy, and super poor guys will dress flashy, and in between guys, I'll just wear Levi's and T-shirts. Mike,
yep,
you're 15.
Yeah,
you have a question for Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what is it?
Ginger.
Yes.
Hey, doll.
Hi.
I was wondering if you're going to keep making movies, and if so, for how long, and are you ever going to star in any more of them or just produce?
I'm starring in a feature film for VCA next month, and right now I'm still involved in my productions in front of the camera. Eventually, within the next year, I will no longer be in front of the camera.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
You're 15.
Mike. Mike, can I just ask you, can you beat off to any of the other 15,000 movies she's made?
I've only made 74.
Yeah.
74 movies.
In 20 years, no, girls do that in a month these days.
My sister did it in a week, first week.
Do you watch my movies?
I've seen some of them. I get some from friends.
Yeah. You go out and buy those things. I don't like this bootlegging or this piracy.
Yeah,
All right, listen. It's amazing. A gent with such a velvety tongue as Mike over there, who's able to woo the women with his finely crafted sentences. It's amazing that this guy has to watch pornography. You would think he would just open his mouth like Cyrano de Bergerac, and the women would fall to his feet.
You kind of watch them at 15, and you watch some of the films made by the women a few years ago. You're actually going to pick up some techniques and some ways to please your women. It's amazing how many men don't know how to please a woman.
On the other hand, they also pick up a sense of how, sort of, as you said, it's so staged, most of these films these days. They have
exactly.
An unrealistic expectation of how men and women are going to respond.
Exactly.
All right, we have a porn connoisseur on the line.
Was he still there?
Oh, wait a minute.
Try it again. Try right. 7.
No.
Try 8. He might be on 8.
Well, how could he be on 8 so fast? Why would he be on 8?
John?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
See?
Drew, why is he on 8?
I think they had him on 8 in the first place.
No,
they
okay.
Put up a 7.
I see.
I think my cell phone just disconnected or something. I'm going through a weird area.
This is John from System of a Down, by the way, who's quite a porn connoisseur, who gave me Taboo 2, by the way, and I think he wants to call to give Ginger her props on Taboo 4.
Definitely. The only one I can't find on DVD, too. I've been looking for it forever.
Taboo 4?
Yeah, I grew up with you, and I'm very happy about it. You're the best.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He wants you to give him away at his wedding. It's coming up in March. Yeah.
I'll wear a suit. Or I could wear a wedding gown. I have several of them. I'll give you away in a wedding gown.
What's your favorite Ginger memory, John?
I don't think I could really discuss that right now, actually. There's a lot of great scenes, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I've actually compiled a few of them on one of my tapes.
Yeah, and on his belly. And, John, couple questions. What's going on with System of a Down? When are you guys coming back on the show and all that stuff?
Well, we'll come on the show whenever you want because, you know, we love doing it. But we're about to go play a couple of shows with Metallica in Europe.
When are you leaving?
Early August or mid-August, I forgot.
All right.
And then when we get back, we're going to start working on a new album.
Okay. So why don't you come on the show when you come back from Europe and tell us how Metallica was.
For sure, I will.
I've seen one of their videos.
And have you seen System of a Down videos?
No, I'm in a Metallica video, though.
Oh, you're in one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, you should get in a System of a Down video. Those are the real videos.
Really? What kind of music?
Oh, man, the best. It's, I don't know. What kind of music you play, John?
I don't know either. It's really kind of different. Just give me your CD. Give me a copy of the CD.
Yeah, it's falafel rock.
It's the least we could do for you, falafel rock. There you go.
It's awesome. Yeah, we got to get Ginger a CD.
Yeah,
definitely. I'll take care of it. Just let me know where I can send it. You guys get the information, I'll send it to her, okay?
All right, John.
Thanks.
Just God bless you.
I'm a big fan. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, John, give me a call, all right?
All right, I'll hit you up later.
All right, take care, buddy.
Bye.
All right. That's John from System of a Down. Actually, we kid, but some of the best videos out there.
Yeah.
Actually.
They're hugely popular.
Yeah. Huh? They're for the kids. They're for the kids.
Am I too old for them?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that doesn't make you old. It just means System of a Down, and, you know, that's the
new music.
20-year-olds.
Yeah. Is it hard?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Got a little edge to it.
Yeah.
You can bang your head. What's wrong with that?
I'm an AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith. I'm an old rock.
You're classic rock.
I'm classic rock.
You go down the hall. Arrow is down there. Hey, you know what I don't go for, though?
I do alternative, but I like the good old...
I was listening to Arrow. Arrow's the classic rock station down the hall. I heard the Romantics, I Like About You, on that goddamn station a couple weeks ago. I was pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not classic rock. This is new wave. Come on, bust out some Bob Seger, for Christ's sake. All right. Where were we, Drew? What's going on?
You can take a break.
All right. Yes, you know what I realized?
High five.
Yeah. Now, I want to go out for some Armenian food with System of a Down.
It's been a year and a half or so.
It's been a long time. We got to get together.
It's time.
So here's what I realized. Ginger was talking about a project that we worked on together, and this is why this is the worst radio show in the country. We teased us doing a project an hour ago and never talked about it. Do you realize when I announce we're going to talk about something when we come back from the break, we rarely talk about it?
Oh, yeah.
We need a producer.
Why do you do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I got to blame someone other than me, though. Well, you got to say Drew, producer.
I brought it up.
Right.
And when we got back from the break, and you went, something else.
I got fired up. But
right. You have to make little notes. I have a radio show now on KSXRadio.com on Mondays.
Yeah.
And one of the things my producer keeps telling me is when you pick your topic, you have to stay there. You need to just stick with it. And I tend to go all over the place.
Yeah.
Because I only have an hour, and I get sidetracked.
Yeah,
so
we do a little of that, too.
I have notes right in front of me. Otherwise, I veer off. And,
you know what's funny, Ginger, is ironically, your note about the sidetracking notes is sidetracking me. In this story.
What's the movie? What's the project you guys are working
on? Go ahead, Ginger.
It's called Save Virgil. And in my opinion, it's a cross between South Park and Space Jam.
Right.
And I play a woman who has I play an ex-porn star who has a biker boyfriend who gets knocked up and has a baby. And as I give birth, I discover that my child is not normal. He's actually a cartoon character. So Virgil is my son, and you are...
That's right.
Technically, Virgil.
I play Virgil.
And you're just so bad.
Yeah,
you're
I'm a horrible,
bad child.
Horrible child. And we worked on a couple of years ago, but with animation, everything takes a long time, and I think they're going to finish it and come out with it very soon.
The director, Brad Abelson, called yesterday and said that it was finally finished, and...
Brad Abelson is a Simpsons.
Yes,
guy.
He's an animator for the Simpsons.
We have one of when he was in the studio visiting you. He did this thing of the Simpsons for us. We framed it and put it in our house.
Yeah, he cranks it out.
Yeah,
he's good. He's really talented.
He's
so
really nice guy.
That'll come out at some point. I'm not sure where, and I'm not sure how. And when it does, he'll tell me, and I'll tell you people. And you can see Ginger and I acting together at last.
Oh my God!
Not what I had in mind when I was beating off in 1984.
Well, Virgil does that in the film a lot too.
I know, but if someone would have told me you are going to do a film with her, I would have been like, yeah. 20 years later, I'm playing a miniature animated Viking. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Legendary porn star Ginger Lynn in here tonight.
No rap tonight?
Drew didn't hear his rap music
Ken,
tonight.
Ken, what is the deal, dude?
Ken, is that you back at Westwood One? Drew can't bust his rhyme. You're screwing his flow, bro.
I was in the hizzy for chizzy tonight.
That's right. Ginger Lynn is here. If you want to find out anything about Ginger's, Ginger's got new projects going on, and just go to www.gingerpicks.com. You can find out all about it. Well, one thing producer Ann found out from Ginger during the break is she used to own tarantulas. And anyone who's been listening to the show knows I found a tarantula 2 days ago. I captured it.
South American tarantula, we think.
The leaping venomous yes. tarantula. I put it in a bucket and I put it in my garage. Mm. I put a little water in there.
I came back to life.
And it's doing pretty good now. It's moving around pretty good. Can't figure out what to feed it.
Crickets.
Now, yeah. Okay. That we know. But that involves a trip to the cricket store. And I'm not willing to go that far for this tarantula.
We also heard frozen mice.
No.
Frozen mice? Mm-hmm. They're huge.
Yeah. What I did tonight is I gave it some thought. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what is the universal food that all animals, all children like it, animals, dogs
pizza.
Like it?
Dog biscuits.
Pizza.
No. Peanut butter.
Oh.
Peanut butter. All animals like peanut. You know, peanut butter is the new bait of choice for like mouse traps and stuff like that. I gave it some peanut butter.
How'd it do?
And it's dead.
I don't know. I threw it in there before I left tonight. It could be dead. Could be the size of a VW.
Have you petted or touched it or done anything with it?
No, I haven't touched it yet. No,
this is the piece I'm waiting for. Is when he shows it to his wife.
Well, what should I do?
My weird thrill.
You
thing.
Had tarantulas.
Well, I'm allergic to deathly allergic to bees and tarantulas and anything that has that type of a venom. I have about 4 minutes before my esophagus closes up. So
you carry a pen. You carry an EpiPen.
So I thought, well, if I get a couple tarantulas, I'll get over that fear. So
it's like Billy Jack taking the snake and having it bite him 1,000 times.
Yeah. So, timely reference for our listeners. Well, the movie that came out in 1973.
First one I loved. It was Lolita. I loved her because tarantulas, the female, after they mate, will kill and eat the male.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought Lolita was kind of a good name.
And was it a brown one?
She was red. This was back when you could still get the red ones. She was beautiful.
What do you get now?
I don't know.
I got a black one.
I haven't had one in a while. Mm. But I could pat her.
You pat her.
They've got the little, like, crazy eight-shaped thing. And on the backside, if you little pet her tushy, she would wiggle, and she liked it a lot. She
really?
Was very cool. Yeah.
And would you let her crawl around on you?
No.
She's allergic to the venom.
No, I wasn't that brave.
Yeah, but you'd reach down and pet
her. I would pat her, yes.
And she was cool with that.
Yes.
Seems like anything that's got fur on it likes to be pet, even if it's a spider. What is that?
Whoa.
Okay, so what should I feed this thing beside crickets?
You know, that's all I ever fed
peanut
mine.
Butter?
Well, what they need to do is sink their fangs into something, and then they suck
liquefy
the inside.
That's some nice, juicy peanut butter.
I don't know if that's going to work, but...
Couldn't hurt.
I don't... It might
potentially hurt, yeah.
It's kind of thick.
It's a little viscous. Yeah.
They have to be able to suck it back. You know,
well, yeah, but if they can liquefy the innards of a cricket, they could take down some Skippy, couldn't they?
Well, you might want to put the water in a sponge then. Put a little sponge in there and put the water in the sponge so that she can, like...
Oh, is that what they like?
Yeah, that they can sink their fangs
into
it.
They like the water in a sponge?
Yeah, that the way it can suck it out easier, like they're...
All right. So how do you give them water? Do they have a water bowl? Is this a sponge?
Bowl, and you put a sponge in it, and then you put the water on the sponge.
Can you put nutrients in the liquid? Will they take nutrients?
Don't know. I never went that far. I just wanted to get
smoothie
over my
fear. There you go. Smoothie.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do the sponge thing. I'll break off a little piece of the car wash and sponge and put it in there.
But make sure it doesn't get away. I had to get rid of mine. I had two at the time in different things, and they were able. They're very smart. I had them in fish tanks, and I had put holes in the top, and they actually put their little legs in there and took the top off, and I came home one night, and they were both out. And it took me 2 days. I was going to move. That was it. Okay, I'm allergic. I'm getting over my fear. Now I'm moving.
Okay, so wait a second. Now,
I'm going to call your wife right now.
How do they get up the side of the aquarium?
It's
glass, right? In the side glass?
They're plexiglass.
Plexiglass, but it can crawl up the side.
Absolutely. Yes, they can.
Oh, Adam, good times. Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the way I found them was I had cats, and they were actually, both of them, they kind of hung out together once I got out, which I was surprised, but they hung on the cord of a lamp, and the cats were batting at them. So that's how I found them and got rid of them.
Yeah. Did you sleep at night there, knowing that they were somewhere?
No, not when they were loose.
No.
No.
Good girl.
And but, after a while, you know what they do? It's really freaky. They will shed their skin, and you'll wake up one morning, and there'll be two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard
about
that.
And that was back when I was dating Charlie, and Charlie used to play tricks on Emilio all the time, and he took the carcass, put it in his car.
Oh, no, I would sue. I would sue.
It was hilarious.
So this thing was able to climb.
It
can't go up the plexiglass
of
the side
of
the aquarium.
This way, can't a spider climb up a bit?
No, they're too heavy.
Spider-Man.
Tarantula can't go up the side.
Yes, they can.
Spider-Man.
No. I've had this thing in a bucket for 3 days now. She keeps trying to get up the side. I can't do it.
Don't they have, like, suction? Spiders have that.
No.
1 minute for a call. You want to do it?
No.
Okay.
Screw them. I don't like those callers. All right, okay. Let's talk to Masturbate by grinding on a pillow. All right. That sounds good.
I know someone who does that.
Yeah. You.
No.
Hello?
Christina? Charlie Sheen.
I just was wondering, because ever since I was little, I orgasm from humping off a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since I've been sexually active, I've never had an orgasm with a guy. And I was wondering if that is a problem downstairs or, like, something I can do to have an orgasm with a guy or what?
Well, you're used to a certain sensation that you're not getting with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have experience in this one, because that's how I started masturbating, was on my stomach,
right.
and with something, mm-hmm. you know, like a stuffed animal or a pillow or something. And when I did.
Get well soon, Nana. Drew, yeah.
And I ran into the same problem. And what I found I had to do was I could orgasm. Now I can do it anyway, but I would have to be on top in order to orgasm and do the same grinding on the guy that I did on the pillow.
Right.
And so once you learn how to do it that way, then you can kind of, you move the guy. That's what I do.
Yeah. He becomes your pillow.
I don't think it's a problem.
Oh, really?
You just have to work with it. For me, it's not.
Yeah,
you
got to get on top, right?
When you're on top, because that's
grind.
How you practice going from one to the other.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Well, I've done that before. It just never really worked. So I was wondering if it was a problem with me.
You're 18. Can you have an orgasm through oral sex?
No. No guy's ever been able to give me orgasm anyway.
That'll probably happen.
Ginger used to have a stuffed tigger that she would force to go down on her.
That's all wrong.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to talk to Ginger about tarantulas, and we'll be right back.
Loveline. Ginger Lynn is here. And that's the end of the show. Took 3.5 calls a night. Drew was so busy high-fiving and cracking his
no
penis.
Rap.
We couldn't get to anybody.
No rap.
But I want to thank Ginger Lynn for coming in here and tell you once again, you can go to www.gingerpicks.com, and that picks is CKS. Ginger, you were a delight.
Thank you.
A breath of fresh air
nice
in a dreary studio. And you come back anytime you got something to plug.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Even if it's round. So,
oh.
Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.